Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
It's the midweek version of Fiber Talk, and Christine has a full voice, which is very nice.
I'm finally well.
That was a long haul. Yeah, you'll hear, we record the Sunday shows ahead of time, and actually the one coming up this Sunday will not be, Christine won't be involved because she couldn't talk when we recorded it.
Yeah.
And so it gets all convoluted because, you've been sick for 2-3 weeks now. And
yeah, the whatever it is that's going around is just, it's just doesn't go away.
Yeah, so you'll hear her normal this week, and then Sunday she won't be there because she was sick when we recorded it, so it's weird.
But, you know, I was generous enough to share this with, like, several people, so,
So you're popular, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Christine.
This is when Gary's very happy that he lives in the Midwest and I'm here on the East Coast.
Yes, it works out just right. Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. So I want to get this in. Cindy Baldwin, listener Cindy Baldwin, wrote earlier today, well, we're recording on Tuesday, so you'll hear yesterday, for those who really care which day it was, an announcement that the Royal School of Needlework is doing two 1-week summer school sessions in Lexington, Kentucky in July next year, in 2018.
Yep. So, I already signed up for the alerts for that. Pretty much within minutes of her posting that, yes, I did.
Okay.
Because that's, I don't know if I can do it, if I can go. And if I were to go to the Royal School, I'm kind of enamored with the idea of actually going to England to do it.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to keep track of what's going on and whether or not they're, because didn't we talk about them doing schools in Williamsburg, Virginia? I think they do a program every year, over the summer. And I thought it was in Williamsburg this year.
It could be. I don't recall that. I remember talking about doing something in the States. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a regular thing for them to do a traveling show kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I better sort of up my skills. If I would even.
You might want to do that. Yeah.
to take a class, because it would be wasted on someone that doesn't have at least a modicum of skill to go in and. You know, because you would want to go in and have someone, an instructor with that level of skill and experience and teaching experience. That's the person you want to go in and say, all right, I've been doing this one stitch forever and I just can't get it. Please help me. Or what can I do to take me to the next level of this particular type of embroidery? You know?
Right.
So, not teach me Bargello.
You want to have a really solid base when you approach the Royal School of Needlework. Yes, agreed.
So
in July of next year, 2 1-week schools. I'm sure they'll sell out quickly, so you want to get in on it. And we'll have a link on the page for this midweek show, but it's royal-needlework.org.uk, and then you can find it there.
Yeah, you can put your name and your email address, and then they'll send you updates as to what the classes are and the details and such.
Yeah. I thought that was, thanks, Cindy. That was pretty exciting.
I really appreciate that. So on our Fiber Talk Facebook page, you can find it there too. So just go there and follow Cindy's link and you can sign up right behind me and we'll be getting that information.
Yeah. These really appreciating the feedback from everyone. I bet I get 2 or 3 suggestions every other day for guests that we might have. The list is so long now, we'll be very old before we use them all up.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate everybody doing it, and people are making an effort to, some people even making an effort to contact people to see if they'd be interested.
Yeah.
So, even if we don't get a response, don't think we don't care, because we do. It's very helpful, really appreciated, and really appreciating hearing from people, ideas of things to talk about, and just hearing that you're enjoying the shows. It really does help, and I know a lot of people are spreading the word about Fiber Talk, and we really appreciate that. Debbie Rowley was in the area last week child sitting for her son and daughter-in-law, and she took a stack of cards that she's going to pass out at the American Needlepoint Guild thing. And, you know, if you're a store and you're willing, I'd be happy to send you 100 cards or 100 business cards to put in bags or put on your counter, and we'll be happy to give you a mention on a show if you're willing to do that.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because we've got a good audience built up, but obviously we want to build it as big as possible. So,
that would be great, and it's a good trade off. So yeah, if you want to if you want to mention on the show, we'll send you cards and put them in. Or I would say the same for designers. You know, if you want if you have a new kit coming out, we'll send out cards and we'll mention the kit, and you just pop the cards in the kit. Do the same thing.
Yep. And if you want to sponsor a show, I mean, there's real cost behind this stuff. So if you want to sponsor a show, let us know. We'll be sending out information coming up here in the next month or so, asking people if they'll sponsor a show. But if you're interested in doing that, let me know, because we'll be happy to do it. And there are real costs behind this, so offsetting those would really be appreciated. By Marga.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. It's not an inexpensive hobby, and quite frankly, even for me to keep up with and to understand, and I'm stitching all these things as we go, and it's not inexpensive to do. So I think it would be funny to be sponsored by the company that makes neon rays, because I've bought a lot of it now, because I stitch it and then I rip it out, and then I stitch it and then I rip it out. So it's funny, I'm working on the Debbie Riley Diamond Delight 10, and I'm getting close to finishing it. And the piece has four corner diamonds that have each one has a different stitch in it, and they're all these really spectacular, large, really complicated pieces. And I got up this morning at like 5:30 because I had tried it last night and was just too tired and couldn't do it and couldn't see. And I got up this morning and stitched it, and I actually grabbed the book before I started so I could tell you what it was. She's calling it in the stitch guide a double fan doubled.
Oh yeah. Those will test your patience.
I didn't know if that was meaningful to anybody, if that was a thing, a stitch. Because again, I'm such a neophyte that I don't know. But what a fun stitch to stitch once I kind of got the hang of what it was that she was trying to explain. Because, and as I was stitching it, I was thinking, my goodness, reading the directions at the beginning, I was thinking, oh my goodness, I don't understand a word of what is going on here. But I, part of my like paying job is writing instructions for people to do things. So, and the whole idea of what I do is to write it so that anybody can pick up the instructions, never having done it before, and be able to follow the instructions and do it. So I have great empathy for Debbie to be able to describe this stitch, which is very, very complicated, in a way that I could read it and understand exactly what it was that she meant. And she was funny about it, because she, even in the text, she says, pretty much, this sounds like it doesn't make any sense, but trust me, just do it. So I said, all right, I'm in for the ride. And so I just followed the directions exactly the way she did it. And it was diagrammed out beautifully. It was described in text beautifully. And lo and behold, before I knew it, the stitch was coming along, and then it was done. And wow, that was a really fun stitch to do. So praise to Debbie, because I don't know how I would have ever figured out how to, describe how to do that stitch, because that was crazy.
Much hair has been pulled out over double fan doubles. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you know what though? Now that I've done it.
Yep.
I want to.
It's not
do
so
it
bad. Yes, that's so bad.
No, it's not. It's just hard to understand how to do it, and I don't think I could do it without following the directions again. But what I'm finding, so doing this piece, and again, I'm so happy I chose this piece because it's so complicated, it had so many different types of stitches. What I'm finding that I like to do, the stitches that I enjoy the most, are the ones where you end up weaving things. So, and of course, off the top of my head, I won't be able to tell you any of the stitches, but any of the ones where you end up, you know, sort of stitching like a basket weave, and then you go over and under a stitch so that things end up woven together. To me, those are, they're just visually appealing and they're fun to stitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and there's a bunch of those in this piece. So, so this has been great because the piece has Bargello. It has this, you know, a lot of these complicated pieces. It has tons of Smyrna stitches. Just like it's got everything going on in there. So it's kind of like a smorgasbord of things that I can try and see what I like.
That's Debbie. Yep. No, no boredom in a Debbie Rowley piece. No, none whatsoever.
Nope. So much fun. So much fun.
Debbie Rowley, Curdy Biggs. Yeah, you won't get bored with either one of those.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's been a ton of fun, except for that stupid neon rays that I'm raising my sky about right now.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's not my favorite, but it's frustrating. But I think once you work with it, you kind of gain an understanding of how it behaves, and then I think you can start to control it. But yeah, it's frustrating.
I will make friends with it, and part of my making friends with it is I've learned to work with much shorter lengths of it.
Yes.
Because it frays so easily that it just has a lot less opportunity to get ornery and to misbehave when it's a shorter length.
Yeah, I think that's a good kind of standing rule for any thread that you find challenging. Is the first step, if you're getting frustrated with it, the first step is to go to a shorter length. And I think in most instances that will at least help you make progress.
Yeah,
just because of what you describe. Yeah, there's less of it to get goofy on you. So,
right.
Yeah.
And then I think the other big thing that I learned from this piece that I look at and I say, so at the beginning of the piece, remember I said I wasn't going to take anything out and redo it? I'm not taking out anything, okay. But I am tightening some stitches up. There's a whole section, it's pretty prominent visually, that's done in Krynek tapestry. So it's a woven, I guess it's, I'm trying to see if it's actually, it's called tapestry braid. So it's a Krynek number 12 braid. So it's pretty thick, pretty, not flexible, thread. And when I was stitching with it, it was stitching over about three holes. So it was, just almost like a satin stitch. And I stitched it, very uniformly, but I guess not tight enough. So what ended up happening is it kind of bubbled up a little bit. And now looking back at the piece, I could have pulled it a lot tighter and it would have made for a much more flat piece, but I was afraid to pull because I was afraid to distort the canvas. So now what I'm doing is I look at the canvas and it's irritating me. So I'm going back over from the back with a needle and starting to tighten up the stitch. So, and that I think is making it a little bit nicer. So that's probably the only thing I'm really correcting on it.
Well, but see, this is, you know, and I do that with especially the more less compliant Krynek threads. I use a laying tool a lot to help them along on the backside and pull them tighter and make them behave. But, I mean, I think it's great that, you know, most people will wait a long time to tackle, you know, a Debbie Rowley piece with all those stitches. But I think it's great that you're just exposing yourself, you know, good, bad, indifferent, to all of these things because you're gaining a lot of experience quickly. But it's having the right attitude. You know, if this thing's a train wreck at the end, so what? Look, you know, but I mean, that's what you're doing. And, and then look what I learned and learned in these different areas I can tell from your attitude that you're having fun doing it. It's an experience. So who cares, you know? I think it's great. I'm enjoying the approach from afar. It is
fun. And what I'm finding is that it's a very challenging piece. And so I'm kind of craving a boring piece right now because I need something that's just a plain something to stitch while I'm watching TV, or something, you know, we've talked about that, where you need something that's going to be really challenging, where you have to pay attention, and then something that's just kind of, you know, mindless, that you can just, you know, large swaths that you can fill in. And I kind of need one of those right now.
Nancy's Needles. I think I mentioned that last week. That's my go-to, is Nancy's Needles, because you get a beautiful piece. You get to work with different kinds of threads, but the stitching itself is quite mindless. And you can just sit there and just in and out with the thread, and you end up with a beautiful piece. She's very talented like that. And I think that's what I admire about her, is that she takes these very simple things and makes a beautiful piece out of it. I mean, that's
okay.
Check it out. She's got bouquets. I don't know. There's all kinds of them. They're all about the same size, about 12. At least the ones I have are all about 12 by 12. But there's nothing complex in terms of stitching, and you can just sit there and watch TV and just bang away with it. And it's very, very relaxing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yep. Okay, so I got this one. Okay, I'm getting ready here. Deep breath. Before I tackle that, I will have to disappoint everyone. There will not be an Arlene segment this week. Our first time, I believe. No Arlene segment. She went quiet. I think school started and she's got to get ready for school, but yep. So there will be no Arlene segment this week.
Well, we'll say hello to her anyway.
Yeah. So, or maybe I just did an Arlene segment. I don't know. Anyway.
You did.
Okay. All right. So here it comes. All right. Brace yourself. Big, deep breath.
I'm ready.
Jane Wood's Chili Hollow Needlepoint Adventure Thread Emporium, in place of many links to interesting internet things.
That was perfect.
Thank you. All in one breath. Okay. She does these things. I always get a kick out of her, because she, every now and then, she'll have the Smart Cookie Award. So the Smart Cookie Award for August goes to Sue Cimino, C-I-M-I-N-O, Cimino, I'm going to go with. She posted a video, and we'll have a link for it, but it hit me. It was perfect, because I keep, if I use pearl cottons, and I'm back to stitching the stocking for our grandson, that's all number 5 pearl cotton. And
which I have to say, I'm just going to interrupt you. I just said to somebody the other day, I'm in love with number 5 pearl cotton, because it behaves very well.
Yes, it does. Isn't it nice?
After the Crinex and all of those things, that pearl cotton is my best friend. Okay, continue.
You go, thank you.
Thank you for just cooperating with me.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
So when I do these skeins, I open up the skein, it's one big loop, and then I just cut it and to make one big, you know, all long strings. And then when I stitch, then I'll cut each of those in half. That's kind of my standard approach to pearl cotton. And so then I keep them in floss away bags with, I just take the labels, the circular labels, and I just dump them in the bag and then I keep them in there. So, but I just kind of carefully fold it up so it doesn't get all tangled. So all those long threads don't get all tangled. Well, the Smart Cookie Award from Sue Cimino, geez, I hope I'm saying that right. Sue, if I didn't, you know, my apologies. It is a video where she takes, and you have to watch the video, but she splits it in, it takes that cut skein of pearl cotton, splits it into 3, and then braids it. So rather than me folding it up carefully and trying not to get it tangled, I can braid this thing using Sue's technique, and then just dump it in, and because it's braided, it won't get tangled, and then you just pull the next thread you need from the top.
And it doesn't, you don't have to unbraid it every time?
No, because it's a loose braid, and she only does like 3 or 4 braids on it. And yeah, you don't have to unbraid it, you can just pull it right out, and then so you don't have to worry about it getting tangled in the bag. And she stores it in the bag, in a floss away bag too. So Smart Cookie Award in spades. Because it's a simple little thing. First, I got to learn how to braid, because I have no idea. But
that's because you're a boy.
Pretty much, yeah. But in the video,
the hazards.
Yeah, it looks like it's fairly easy to do. But anyway, so she shows it very well in the video, and so I'm going to start doing that. I'll be good at braiding here pretty quick. But it's just a brilliant little simple thing. You know, we've been talking about storing threads, and just a brilliant little thing for keeping those things from getting all tangled up and making it really easy to pull the next thread. So, yeah, tip of the cap to Sue Cimino. And there'll be a link. We'll do a link to the video. It's a Facebook video. But anyway, yeah, I just thought that was absolutely outstanding. So, yeah.
So, let me ask you this then. When you have Flossway bags of fibers that you're not working with, what do you put them in?
Of fibers that I'm not working with?
Yeah. So, let's say you have a DMC thread that you use some of, you are not using it anymore. You have almost a full skein left, so you're going to store it for another project. How do you store all of your remainders, threads that you're stowing away for something?
I just keep them in the floss away bags.
And then that goes in what?
In the toolbox, those metal toolboxes that I got from a friend of ours that have all the drawers. I have a drawer. Right. I have a drawer that's all floss away bags with cut skeins of pearl cotton, 5 or whatever it is. And they're all in there. Now, they're all in one drawer, but they're not organized. And so if I need to go through, and that's where I come up short. Cause if I need to know if I have a color, then I haven't written them down. So then I got to get all those out and lay them out and see if I have the color. So, you know, my little system is only partially effective.
You know what we need to know? I imagine there has to be such a thing. So if somebody knows that it exists, please let us know. Otherwise, I'm going to end up doing this in something like Evernote. If there is an app that has a list of all the threads that you can check off when you get them so that you know if you have them or not, please let me know, because that would be a great tool to have.
Well, I talked about the one that I use. Was it last week or the week before? X Stitch is an app X-Stitch. That I use. Coffee Shop Works X Stitch, and there is one for Android, which I know you use the Android phone,
and that
does all of the DMC flosses, and so you can put that in there, and then
even that would be helpful.
Yes,
right.
And so I keep all that up to date, and then when you need something, there's a little shopping button, and then it makes a shopping list for you. So you can go in the store and just have a list of what you need. So I use it for that. But for the other threads, there was a discussion, I want to say Needlepoint Nation, but I'm not sure, just in the past week, of people talking about what do you use and sharing spreadsheets that they use and that kind of thing. Because a lot of people will go to spreadsheets. But I had not thought of what was that one you just mentioned?
Evernote,
because I have Evernote. I use that all the time for work. I had not thought of that as a way to store, but that's excellent.
And the reason I'm thinking of doing it that way is that Evernote, you can so for anybody that doesn't use Evernote, it's basically just a note-taking app, and you can take a note as a photo, you can take a note as a checklist, as a text note, as a handwritten note, as a million different ways. But what I'm thinking of doing is I would do them as a checklist. So if you have it, then you just check it off. But what I'm also thinking is I'm wondering, and I'd have to give this a try. You can do Evernote, from online. So you can do it from your phone, but you can also install it, through Chrome on your computer. So you can save pages into Evernote. So you just click the little Evernote icon on Chrome and it'll save a page. But what I'm thinking more is if you can just take a page and dump it into Evernote and then convert it into a checklist. So let's say I was to go to a needle workshop's list. Let's say needle workshop had a list of all the DMC threads they had, or let's say DMC had a list of all the DMC threads they had. You could just cut and paste that list into Evernote as a checklist, and then just check off the ones who have. I don't know if you can do. I don't know if it's that simple, but if it was, that would be awfully nice.
Yeah, well, you can certainly do checklists. Evernote And you can take, you can, there's a way to save web pages, because you can put stuff into notebooks in Evernote. So you can have different notebooks for different things. And so you can save a web page into that. Or there's all kinds of things you can do. It's very powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. I have like recipes in there. That's pretty much where I store kind of everything is in Evernote. So
I had not thought of that. So now, now you got me going here. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's free. It's free. They changed it because you could have it on any devices, and now it's free for up to two devices. So I have it on my machine and my phone. Mm-hmm. I used to have it on my iPad, but then they took that away. You had to pay. You have to pay for that. But it is free, and all the capabilities. And then if you need it on three devices. But when I took it off my my iPad, I thought, oh, I'm really going to miss this, but I really haven't. So. That's a good call. Good call. I had just not thought about that. I use it all the time, but I use it for work, so I'd never thought about it for needlework. Excellent.
Well, let's see if it works. We'll find out.
You win. Yes.
I'll give it a try. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yay. Let's see. Oh, I want to get this in. I'm going to have to do a little reading here. But I want to get this in. We talked about copyright the last 2 weeks, and I was asked to not mention the designer and so on and so forth because didn't want to encourage the thieves. And Pinterest, boy, I tell you, I'm getting less and less excited about Pinterest with each passing day. But anyway, the things that were converted to cross-stitch from painted canvases were painted pony designs. And Debbie Woodward of Painted Pony Designs just posted something just the other day, and I'm just going to read it. Painted Pony fans, 2 weeks ago, 80 images from my line were stolen and converted into graft images. I've been working with a company that specializes in taking down the pirated images. I just found out a few minutes ago, and this was yesterday, I think, Monday, that the company has also taken down photos of my original hand-painted designs in addition to the graft images. They have sent messages to at least one Pinterest fan saying that they are removing the original hand-painted images because I do not want the content to appear on Pinterest. And then Debbie Woodward is saying, I'm so sorry if you receive a similar message. I had clearly stated with the company what was to be taken down and provided an image to them of each violation. Please know that without my fans, I have no company and no business future. Never would I seek to bar you from enjoying and pinning up Painted Pony design, hand-painted or stitched images that you enjoy. I am always honored and amazed when someone appreciates my art. I sincerely apologize if you have received a message saying that I do not want this content, the hand-painted images, on your Pinterest account. I don't know if this will affect your Pinterest account or not, but please refer Pinterest to this notice if your account is questioned. This is another layer of why it is just wrong to steal original artwork. Not only have my creations been stolen and marketed as someone else's, but in an effort to protect my company, we end up upsetting our most appreciated stitchers. Please repost the heck out of this message, as I need to reach as many of my stitchers and shops as possible. And then it's signed Debbie Woodward, Painted Pony Designs. So, she tried to protect herself, and then Pinterest goes over the edge and is now hurting her. And this whole thing, and those, especially those little angels she does, are so popular. People collect them, and there's hundreds of them. I don't know how many there are, but I was looking the other day just to see how many there are. I mean, there's just racks and racks of these angels, in addition to the other Painted Pony designs. So it's just so frustrating. That's what copyright thievery, basically stealing artwork.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And, I said to Margaret today, I said, I just am reaching the conclusion more and more that Pinterest is such a, almost a cesspool of thievery. There's so much of it that goes on there that, I have a Pinterest account. I don't use it that much, but I really have to say I'm really starting to think hard about it. But it's such a nice idea because it's such a good way to collect ideas. And, So.
It quickly gets overwhelming, though, because there's just too many ideas. What I find annoying is that because I don't like using it because it just is a cluttered mess to me. is that I won't have the app on my phone, and then I'll go, and let's say I do need to search for an image because I want an idea for something. And so I'll do a search for an image, and I'll click on the image. And the only way that you can see the image is, because it lives on Pinterest, is if you have the Pinterest app. So it is most annoying because then you can't see anything because it all lives on Pinterest. So Pinterest is like the great repository of images now.
Yeah.
So that's my great annoyance with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and it's just kind of, it's flawed. I mean, nothing's perfect. It's flawed, but also it's just been abused now. With, you know, these copyright people, stealers, and it's just frustrating. But I really feel sorry for Debbie Woodward because, you know, she's just trying to, she's a creative person and has a lot of creative stuff to offer, and it's hurting her here. And actually, the reason I was looking was I was gonna support her and buy a canvas. You know, I was gonna see if there was one I liked, and I was gonna buy a canvas. And then that got me thinking, not only you know, do that kind of thing, if everybody bought one of her canvases, then, you know, maybe that offset some of the pain. But then I was thinking here, we're in August, and I always think at this time of year, because I live in Illinois, you live in New York on Long Island, you know, all the people in Phoenix and Florida, you know, Arizona and Florida, who have shops whose businesses pretty much dry up in the summer because people all go back north, and then their busy time is in the winter. And I was thinking, I wonder what would happen if everybody took $10 and did business with a shop that they normally would do business with in the winter. You know, you go south for the winter. Mm-hmm. You know, if you did $10, if everybody did $10 worth of business with their favorite shop in Phoenix or in Florida somewhere, I wonder what that would do. I wonder if we could put a shot in the arm of these businesses that are just sitting there with shortened up hours. You know, a customer dribbles in once every 3 or 4 hours. I wonder if we could put a shot in their arm, by doing that. It might be a fun thing to see what would happen if that would make a difference. Without, you know, you don't want to shortchange the people who are up here north and enjoying your business, but, you know, I think about those things in terms of how do you spread the business around, you know, your business around, so that you maximize the opportunities for shops to stay open and to have some cash flow. And there's no winning. I mean, it's, you know, market dynamics are going to be what they are. But, you know, I just thought, hey, what if I ordered from somebody in Phoenix? And then I thought, well, nope, Marga and I are going down there next week. We're going to spend 10 days in Phoenix, so I'll be there. I'll help them out there.
I think that's fair.
I don't know. I just thought it would be a fun campaign if everybody just took $10 and spent it at a shop where they'd normally be in the winter, what that would do. Might be fun to find out. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Things I think of when I have an idle moment. Scary. Scary stuff. What else we got on this? Oh, I have to talk about this. You know, every now and then I'll trip over a finished piece that just really stands out. And I'll completely botch this name. Margaret Papanikolaou. I don't know. Something like that.
It's Margaret. Probably Papanikolaou because it's Greek.
Say it.
Papanikolaou.
Papanikolaou. That's Greek. Okay. See, I learned something. Okay. So Margaret, I'm going to go with Margaret.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you. So she took a chart from the thistles. It's a family tree chart from thistles designed by Lisbeth. And it's a tree, and then the roots of the tree are stitched pictures of houses that you would have a house for each family, every family unit, I guess, or family member, whatever, however you decide to do it. And it's a horizontal, the original is a horizontal design. And this, to me, was just a superb example of you don't have to stitch a design the way it's presented. You're more than free. You bought it. You own it. You're more than free to do whatever you want with it to make it yours. And so she had this piece of cloth, and she wanted a vertical sampler of this design. So she took and put the tree at the top, And then she made the houses, the roots of the tree underneath it, and then picked up some houses from other samplers so she would have a variety for all the family member or family units that she had, and stitched this. It looks like it's rather large, and we'll have a picture on the page for this podcast. But I just thought it was an excellent way of taking a design and making it yours, and you know, creative, and then bringing in some things from other charts to really pull it together. Now what she has is a really nice family heirloom piece that I just thought it was brilliant. I really did, and it's beautiful. Yeah. She really did a nice job. The colors are nice, the whole bit. Yeah.
So I like that one. It's nice to see people taking pieces and altering them a little bit. And you know, every designer that we've spoken to has encouraged that. Actually.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, unless you're doing a reproduction sampler where you're trying to do something where you're reproducing, a piece of art. For any of the other designs, the designers have been, you know, quite adamant that they're meant to be interpreted.
Yeah. 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 Colors, design, you know, change it, whatever. Oh, yeah. Everybody has. Well, that was one of the things that came out of the Mystery Needle retreat, talking with Debbie Rowley, is, and you'll hear it Sunday, is they have a lady who has, I don't think has ever done the design in the 13 or 14 years they've done this, has ever done the design the way it was. She takes it and modifies it to her way. And what fun. What fun. You know, it's an extra challenge for her. And and I'm sure the designers, the four designers, just love to look at what she does. What she does, you know, takes their ideas and modifies and adjusts. I'm sure they just love that. So, this thing, Margaret, really, really a cool idea. Cross-stitch sampler. It was a post in Our Sampler Years was the group. Still is the group. Our Sampler Years. But, she linked to the silverneedle.com/thistles to get the chart. But it's just beautiful. And I just kind of sat there and applauded her for what she did with that. I thought it was just really creative and original. And
yeah.
So yay for that. That's great. And then I had an exchange, that was so much fun with Lorna Bateman.
Yeah.
What a great time. And I am so jealous of her little studio cottage thing. Oh, that's so nice. Just the pictures, you know, you build that. Oh, what a nice space to work in. And of course they're packing kits out of that, but really enjoyed that. And I had a conversation, a little exchange with her this week. She's in the Alps now teaching, and she says, and you know, here you talk about a stitcher persevering. So Lorna says, Alps is going well, but we had our first drama today when one of the ladies, the youngest in the bunch, fell and broke her leg. She will be having a pin put in, but is up for staying on after the operation. There you go. Yeah. My stitching outing is not going to be ruined by a broken leg. I'll be back. We'll just prop it up and I'll keep stitching. I like it. Yeah. So I'm still jealous though. She gets to go teach in the Alps for extended periods. How nice that must be. Yeah. Yep.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Nope. But that was, I really enjoyed. So we'll have her back. I reiterated to her that she needs to come back and join us again because that was a lot of fun. So.
Yes.
Yep. Good stuff. Let's get a couple of tips in. We got a little bit of time left. Let's get a couple of tips in. We did this last week. Cam Wensloff of Needlepoint Nation asked for people for tips. And let's see. Oh, this one, you see this time and time again. Put some extra needles in your wallet. The last thing you want to do is get stuck on vacation or a plane ride with a great project and no needles. And every now and then someone will post that they hauled all their stuff, sat down to do some stitching, and no needles and no way to get them. And usually that'll be one of the tips. Oh, I keep half a dozen needles in my wallet, and then I know I'm covered. So, that was a good one. And that's an easy thing to forget, the needle. You don't think about it. Use it all the time, but you don't think about it. And Yeah, I can't, it's not happened to me yet, but I can't imagine. You know, I hauled all my stuff. I'm ready to stitch. Peace and quiet. I'm on vacation. No needles. Yeah. let's see. What else we got here? Oh, this one, David Fink. This one, I've been, since I read that, I've been really conscious of this. Suggesting be careful with the first and last stitches. Make sure the first stitch is tight enough to avoid a bump. Careful that the last stitch is not tortured tight, creating a dent. The goal is a smooth, uniform surface. And I caught myself, not at the beginning, not starting a strand of thread, but at the end where I ended off, I've caught myself pulling it too tight since I read this. You know, you weave it under and you pull it tight, and I've caught myself. And yep. So now I've been watching that very carefully and working hard to keep that tension the same and not making that go too tight, because it does, it collapses things, and then it, you know, you do it time after time and pretty soon you get little dents that you can tell. So yeah, so I thought that
you're
was
just,
good.
Then basically, so to give it extra security, you're just using extra length of thread.
Yeah.
You're weaving in?
Well, yeah, I mean, I weave in, and a lot of times I'll use a Bargello hook, even if I don't need it. But mm-hmm. I just am now careful that I don't pull it too tight. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me, you were asking about, a magnifier that you could rest on your chest to stitch with. And you made some comment in your post about miner's helmets, and so, I got all wrapped up in finding you a miner's helmet.
Which you did, yeah. Thank
I did.
You very much.
Yeah, no problem on that. But then I posted and I realized, no, that wasn't what she asked about at all, but I wanted to have a miner's helmet for you, so I got one.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
No charge for that. But mm-hmm. then I started doing some serious searching for a magnifier that you can rest on your chest that's like mine, where it has a string that goes around your neck mm-hmm. and rubber feet, and it rests on your chest. I couldn't find one.
Well, that's what I have. That's exactly what I have.
Oh,
and
okay.
I hate it. It's, you know, and I could see how people would like it, and I just, it's just not working for me. I think it's, maybe my vision isn't good enough, or it's too klutzy, or it's not magnifying enough, or the light isn't bright enough. I don't know what of those things isn't working for me. So I'm going to try one of the headlamp types that I guess like a jeweler's loop.
Yes.
Or like a surgeon's loop. So I found one on Amazon that was really inexpensive, actually, which will either be a good thing or a bad thing, that has different magnification lenses. So you can swap out if you need more or less magnification. It fits over glasses, and then it has a light attached to it. So I will look like a complete crazy person, but I will hopefully be able to stitch better, because it was driving me crazy, because I'm trying to stitch and I'm not home. And at home, I'm using a floor stand lamp, and that's fine because it's got, you know, ring lights, and it's really good. But to stitch anywhere else, like if I go away or anything, if I'm taking any work with me, I'm really just having a miserable time because I can't see. So I'm going to try this other thing and see if that works better.
Well, I've seen lots of people use devices like that, and I've asked about it, and they just love them. So.
Yeah, I'm going to look like a crazy person, but that's, you know, that's okay.
Well, I mean, and I think everybody I've talked to about those would, yeah, I look a little goofy, but I don't care. I can see to stitch, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nine times out of ten, they're just by themselves anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. And especially, I mean, you and I used to travel a lot, and I off and on for work will end up traveling. And so you end up stuck in a hotel room, you know, for a while, and that would be a fine time to do it.
Yes.
And then you're by yourself and nobody cares.
Right. That's what I do.
Plus, I have a 14-year-old son who, you know, the best thing in the world is humiliating him. And there's no better way to do that than to be embarrassing.
Yep.
As the parent, because it's way more effective as a parent to do something embarrassing than have them be embarrassing.
Yep.
So.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's much more impact. Yes.
I'm all about that.
Yep. Okay, well, good. I'm glad you found a solution, because I got all wrapped up in the miner's helmet and forgot to actually find a solution for you. So, but
I'm good.
Okay, that's it. The midweek show, it ends. We'll be back Sunday. This time, Sunday is Needle Arts Mystery Retreat. Debbie Rowley, Pat Hartman, Mary Knapp, and Linda Rhine-Miller had a great conversation about how that all happens and how those four designers collaborate each year to come up with a piece that is mind-blowing. So we just had a great conversation with that. So that'll be Sunday. That's it.
Cool.
We're done. We're out. Bye.